You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altron, there when it matters.
The Classic Business Show is brought to you by Altron, technology partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at altron.com. Altron, there when it matters. Now, it was rather interesting listening to one of the panelists at the Carbon Tax Breakfast this morning. He was from the South African Petroleum Industry Association talking about electric vehicles, and he seemed to dismiss them as being too far in the future to really consider seriously the implications for the petroleum industry. But is that the case? South Africa is being urged to champion the electric car, to put an end to the vast sums of money that leave the country to pay for imported petroleum. And the call has been made by none other than the former head of the CSIR Energy Centre, Tobias Bischoff-Nymphs. And he puts forward a compelling case behind the rise of EVs. What are these as you see them?
Well, I think it's important to understand it's a global dynamic first. More and more countries and cities as well, which are pushing the drive towards electric vehicles for climate change mitigation objectives, also for equality objectives, but increasingly because it makes economic sense. Electric vehicles, you say they are nice to drive, but they're also nice for your pockets at the end of the day. They still fetch a little bit of a premium in terms of the purchase, they're much cheaper to run. So we see a lot of dynamics internationally from a lot of countries and municipalities to push for that in order to fetch those benefits, localize as well the fuel. As you mentioned, spend a lot of money importing fuel, $15 billion per year in South Africa. This is our largest import. So if we could displace that with local electricity, we would reap many, many benefits. So that's some of the dynamics that are at play globally that are being pushed for.
What impact will that have on consumers' back pockets at the end of the day? What will the introduction of EVs do to disposable income?
So that's quite an interesting story. We've done some work in South Africa, and because of the low cost of running an electric car, it's very low on maintenance, it's low on the cost of fuel. You'll see about a decrease of about 50% of the transport cost for an average South African household. So we're talking about significant gains for any households. But the interesting story, I think, in the South African case, which we pointed out in some of the work that we've done, is that obviously it's the people who own the cars who are going to reach most of the benefits.
So there's an equality issue here, because those who use public transport won't reap as much of a benefit as private car owners. We obviously need to be mindful of. What are the negative impacts? I mean, one can think off the cuff that if you've got less ICE vehicles, as they call them now, internal combustion engines, the mom-and-pop mechanics whose livelihoods depends on servicing these vehicles will have to be managed. What are some of the other big macro issues as a country that we're going to have to...
Yeah, obviously, as every transition and transformation that's very disruptive, there are benefits and there are some short-term impacts that we need to look after. I think the biggest one is really the transformation of the automotive industry and the automotive value chain. From obviously the manufacturing of the cars, for now in South Africa, we only manufacturing ICE vehicles, and it largely for exports to the European Union and the US, two markets that are heavily moving towards electric vehicles. So we are at a threat of losing those markets. So if we don't reform and change our automotive manufacturing industry, we are at a disadvantage. Downstream, the petrol station, everybody wonders what's going to happen to the petrol stations. We have 130,000 people employed in petrol stations today. For the anecdote, it's directly more than people employed in coal mining in the country. So it's a sizable amount of people. So we need to manage that carefully and saying, how can we repurpose maybe some petrol station, And can we transfer some of the workers? So how can we have a just transition for the people employed in the automotive industry, in the liquid fuel industry overall, in petrol stations? But also, there are some risks on the mining side. You know, our largest export from manufacturing is catalytic converters. Catalytic converters are currently fitted in petrol cars. They're not needed in an electric vehicle. So what's going to happen to the platinum mining industry? They're hoping for support around fuel cells, which EVs are going to drive. But the future remains quite uncertain in that respect.
And Gaylor, you know, there's also all sorts of interesting questions around the automotive industry development program. We spend, as a fiscus, an awful lot of money incentivizing the automotive industry to manufacture what seems now to be an outmoded, outdated technology. That's why governments are very good at picking winners at the best of times. So we have to ask the question as to whether or not that new program is fit for purpose, or whether or not we should be developing value chains that feed into the EV space as well. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for Montmisson Claire is a senior economist at Trade and Industrial Policy Strategies TIPS, which is based in Pretoria. And this interview is based on an article that can be found on the TIPS website.